If I remember right, the 23rd is society meeting. That should be a Thursday evening, and it is at 7 o'clock. Okay, and then the other announcement is the Wednesday after that at Carl and Mary's is a CLC kickoff, FMY kickoff, with a picnic, and we want to welcome you. And that starts at 6:30. So come and bring your things and plan to have some fun. Are there any other announcements?
Yes, there are. You guys are blessed. I just want you to know that ahead of time. So we decided, the CE committee had a meeting, and we decided that we're overworking Gail just a tad. And Gail whines and gripes and tells us that we're not, but we know better. So we are going to put up this breakfast sign-up sheet for whoever would like to come and help whatever day you'd like, each Sunday that you'd like to. You can fill them all out for all I care. But anyway, for all those that want to help out in that, please sign up and then put it on your calendar to make sure that you bring something and come early enough to make sure that it's ready when fellowship time starts. So this sign-up sheet will be back in the back for all those that would like to sign up for that. And since I realize this is kind of a ladies' thing, okay, we don't want to let the men out of this whole idea. So we thought that the scripture and prayer could be done by the men of the church, so to speak, and that would help involve them in the services and help them to feel more of a part, and we'd like to hear your voice. So if you would like to read scripture and pray, there's a sign-up sheet for that. Now, we will take women, but this was pretty much kind of directed toward the men that we really need their help throughout, not just for prayer and this, but we need everybody to take an active part in the church, because it just helps us to have more ownership and love for those around us and for the church. So both of these will be back there. You can sign up as you leave.
And just because you don't sign up doesn't mean you won't get asked.
Okay, our scripture today comes from Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are more pure. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your precepts that you have given us. We pray that you would help us to listen to them and to hide them in our hearts and to wear them daily. We do pray that you'd be with Pastor Bruce today as he leads us, guides us. Help us to listen and apply it to our lives. And help us to learn of you. We'd ask these things in your name. Amen. Would you please stand for our songs?
Alrighty, it's sharing time, and I know you all had a great week, and it ended with an inch of rain, so that's even a better week. So I'll just wait, and wait for your worship of the Lord.
responsible for the safety of the firemen out in Washington and California. A lot going on while I'm away. It's been quite a few fires graying the skies out there. Yeah. So we just continue to pray for safety for all that's involved. Yeah, it's lightning fires, lightning on the dry. We don't get rain like you do. Like you did.
Well, we needed it. The ground had started to part. Anyone else? Nobody's going to be thankful school started? No? Why not? Come on, guys. She was shaking her head from the very beginning. She's definitely not. I'm sure that there are some people that are really happy that school started again. But it doesn't look like this group.
Well, it has been a great week. And the rain is wonderful. Can always use rain. I had a couple fields that weren't done, but I don't care. It's good to have the rain. It's been a great week, and things have gone well. I did cut my finger, but it'll be okay. God is good.
Amen. He didn't tell us we wasn't going to have a few problems, right? Oh, someone's glad the school. No.
I would like to pray for my mom as she's serving in Cuba, and I'm hoping that she gets to come down during September, and that she's doing okay because she had surgery a couple months ago, and I'm hoping that she's feeling better from her surgery.
I just have a praise. Stephanie West got home yesterday, and he said when he hasn't been up there for a few days because her sister went down to Wichita, but he said she was like a new woman when she got home. She's getting stronger every day, so praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm just thankful that for the safety that the Lord gives us as with all the travels. Dave did some traveling and Judy did traveling, so. I know there's other people that did, and I'm just thankful for that.
And this week we had some crazy, bizarre things happen, but we're all still alive and we aren't doing funerals, so I'm thankful for that.
I'm thankful for the rain and for the good time we had with our family and safe travels and all the schedules and everything there. And we just had a wonderful time to celebrate.
Anyone else?
Okay, so the latest on Mom's little saga, okay? So Thursday, they sold their third car. So they're down to two vehicles. Friday, they're on their way to Ness, and a lady rams into their car. It's now totaled in the salvage yard. They're down to their pickup. So they get a U-Haul, load everything in the car, drop it all off. So they'll be at my house Monday and Tuesday for the exterminator in Ness. Go back for another load for their cat and whatever else they have. And we're hoping that the appraiser says that the loan can go through for $94,000, which is $2,000 more than they asked for to start with. So we're just hoping they say yes. So moving on. There you go.
Think I can outwait her? She's not going to talk, is she? Yeah, you, the one looking around. Yeah. You're not going to talk. Well, I'll talk for her, because I like to talk. What? Carol had all her testing and all that done. And in the meantime, she has done, they gave her some other things to do in case they didn't find what they thought they'd find, which they didn't find, so she doesn't have cancer. She doesn't have Graves' disease. She doesn't, her thyroid's working perfectly. Now, why everything was all swelled up, they aren't positively sure. So we still have that hurdle to jump over, but the swelling has gone down, and so she can swallow and eat. She can talk again, which is, can be a problem. But she is doing much better, and so we just thank God for answering prayer, and that she's feeling better, and her spirits are better now that the big hurdles are jumped. So we just thank you for your prayers, and wanted you to know that, or I wanted you to know, I shouldn't say we, someone didn't want to talk, but we just wanted to thank you for your prayers and walking me with us as we traveled this road.
One of the devotions that I was reading this morning talks about things that don't go right. We think that we can do, we have our plan, and this is how our day is supposed to go. We're supposed to do this and this and this and go forth. But sometimes God has a different plan for our day or for our life. And we, some of us become very frustrated with things that don't go right. They go wrong. Things that don't work when we want them to work. Yesterday it worked, but today it doesn't. So it's all in God's plan. Sometimes we don't understand God's plan. Sometimes it takes us years to understand God's plan. Would you stand for our prayer hymn? Hymn number 380.
Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for walking with us. We thank you for getting us here safe and sound. We thank you for the rain that we received yesterday. And we thank you for the sunshine that we woke up to. And so we are happy, Lord, that you are in control. That you are the one that watches over us, that takes care of us, the one that touches our body. And so we continue to thank you, Lord, for being there for us, for walking with us, guiding us, protecting us. And so it is good to be here, to allow you to minister to us, to help us realize that we're a part of something bigger. We are part of the family of God. And so we do thank you for the praises that we have heard this morning. We do thank you for answered prayer. But we still think of those that aren't with us, those that can't be with us. We think of Lloyd and Jean this morning who'd love to be with us this morning, but they just can't. And so we just ask, Lord, that you watch over them, that you give them peace. Let them know that you are close. We think of those around our community that have seen answers to prayer this week. We think of those that really needed your help. And so, Lord, we just ask that you be in our community, in our churches, in everywhere. That people might know that you are in control. That people might know that it is through prayer that things change. That we might understand why it's so urgent. That we'd be ready for your return. So this morning, Lord, we think of our missionaries around the world and the work that they do and the places they are and the things that are happening. And we just ask, Lord, that you watch over them, that you give them strength and mercy and kindness and gentleness. We just ask, Lord, that you help them to do the job that you've called them to do in the place they have went to go. And we think of those of us that are here at home, and our mission field is out there. The Bible says the fields are white with gold, ready for harvest. So help us to be bold. Help us to understand your word and understand that you are there for us and you're walking with us and guiding us. But there are those this morning, Lord, that need just a touch from you. There are those that life has gotten them down. Life isn't going the way they think it ought to. And so we ask, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon them. That you give them strength, mercy. Give them joy in their heart as they plow through, knowing that you'll walk with them all the way. Help us to see that, to walk with them, to hold them up. So this morning, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit fill each one of us. Help us to know as we leave here that we needed to be here. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to know that you are still in control. As life goes out of control. And so this morning, Lord, just come. And all God's people said, Amen. Shortly after I did my announcement that you don't have to find the scripture, I will have the scripture ready for you. For those that want to sign up and pray on Sunday mornings. Just want you to know that. I'm sure you've all been to some big concert or some big convention or something like that. And as you, especially like the first time you go to one, you walk in and you feel like you're not only out of place, but you're different than everybody else. You just don't quite fit in. And you really, at times, have to stop and wonder why you're really there. And who cares if you're there or not? You know, sometimes when I'm going through an airport or something like that, you know, I feel so insignificant in comparison to all the people that are there. You know, you go into some of these big airports and there's thousands of people running around going here and there. They're listening to the thing telling, oh, so-and-so needs to be at this gate. We're going to help this person get there. And you're sitting there, you know, you don't feel like your importance is quite small at that time. And then as you board that plane, at least for me, I realize how insignificant I really am. I don't get to drive. And you can ask Carol, I really like to drive. I'm not a great rider. And so, you know, as that plane takes off and I can't see, I sometimes feel like a speck. I feel like I'm really not in control. I'm not the one that's important, and nothing about this is makes me any more sure of myself. And I don't know about you, that's not a great feeling. And I think as we think of the family of God as a whole, sometimes we get there. Our life isn't going exactly the way we'd like it to go. And so we wonder if we even count. We wonder if we are really a part. And if God really cares. I mean, think about all the people God takes care of in a day. It isn't just this group. It isn't just our county and those that go to church. Because we have to stop and realize that God takes care of all of us. Christian or not, God takes care of every person. And so it's easy for us to get this idea that even in the bigger realm, we're insignificant. And the sad part of it is, once in a while, even in a small group, we feel a bit insignificant. And so this morning, I want us to stop and realize that it has nothing to do with what the world thinks. It has nothing to do with how we're treated or who is around. It all has to do with us and our relationship with God. Because it doesn't make any difference how you are seen by anybody else in this room or outside of it. The only real difference maker is when we realize that God loves us. And He just not only loves us, but He wants us to feel like a part. You know, in your family unit, unless you got lots of brothers and sisters, even growing up, being the youngest, once in a while, when everybody else was going out to do stuff, Bruce was stuck at home with Mom. And I think that was for Mom, not Bruce. Okay, I mean, Mom made Bruce take naps until he was like in kindergarten because Mom wanted a nap. Okay, the truth finally came out, and I was 40-some, and it was a little late for me to do anything then. But the point is, once in a while, even within our family group, we aren't all that significant, are we? But I always knew I was loved. I always knew that my family, even as bad as I thought they treated me, I always knew they loved me. Because they might treat me like dirt. But if something went wrong in school, at a rodeo, my family was always the first ones there, right? And that's the way it ought to be. And so as we stop and read our scripture today, I want us to keep that idea of family in our minds. Because even if we think we're insignificant in the big realm, we have to stop and realize that we are in a family. And we're in a family that wants to take care of us. And the most of all, we're in a family where the Father is taking care of every one of us and loves us without condition. He loved us while we were sinners. He loves us while we're Christians. It makes no difference. So this morning, I'm ahead. I woke up early this morning. I have it marked. Okay. So we'll go to John 8, starting with verse 31. John 8, starting with verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now there's three things here I want you to understand, or three things that you need to understand as we go forward. One is, we don't get to just say, "I want to be a Christian." It says right here, we have to hold to his teachings. We have to grow. We can't just be stagnant in the water. Now, if you was lucky enough to have went to Scott Lake with us, yes, Friday. We left at noon Friday in our minds. We left at 5 o'clock on the lot, you know, in reality. But, you know, we was trying to leave all afternoon. But when we got there, we was the only ones there. But the water was nasty. I mean, green guck everywhere. It was nasty. I know why there was nobody else there. Okay. But we got to go and play. And so we went and cooked hamburgers. I could have took my car, but I took my RV. And everything worked to plan until we got up Saturday morning. But the point is, we need to make sure that we understand what's really going on. God knew all along what time we'd get there, and he knew what would happen. And no matter what happened, we needed to hold on to his teaching. We couldn't allow the way everything progressed to muddle our understanding of God's teaching. So we have to remember that. Secondly, we have to know the truth. It can't be our truth. It has to be God's truth, right? We aren't the ones in control here. We don't get to make our own Christianity. We have to stop and realize that it's God's truth that we have to hold on to. That's part of Jesus' teaching. That's part of the thing that Jesus tries to get across in most of his parables, that God is in control. So God's truth matters. And lastly, that truth will set us free. Now, we're probably a lot like the Jews that Jesus is speaking to. We're going, "We're free already. We live in America. We get to do whatever we want to, when we want to, because we want to." But is that real freedom? See, they didn't believe that they were slaves to the devil. They didn't believe that the devil was really in control of their lives, because they had allowed the devil to help them believe that they could make their own Christianity. They had come to the belief that they could make new rules and circumvent some of God's actual rules. You know, churches do that too. We call them denominational disciplines. Things that church, each one believes. They may or may not be actually biblical. They may not actually be true to what we have to know or understand to be a Christian. We have to hold on to God's truths. And at that point, we will truly be free. But that's not free just to go do what we want to do. Because, see, we need to be free to understand and follow God's, Christ's commands, His teachings. And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone." Now, who all believes that? Now, these are the same people. Their ancestors were slaves, I believe the Bible says, for 400 years in Egypt. 70-some years in Babylon. But they've never been slaves. Wrong. And when they made this statement, the Romans were in charge. Technically, they were slaves a long time. And like most of us, could easily be enslaved at any time. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. As long as we are willing to follow the devil, as long as we're willing to do things that we know God would not want us to do, we are slaves to sin. We live our lives not for what we would like to do. As Paul says, he does what he does not want to do because the devil is always there. So if we really want to do what we're supposed to do, we're not supposed to sin, right? So that drops us clear back to the beginning, where we're supposed to follow Jesus' teachings, His commands. Because then we get to be sons. And in other different translations, it doesn't say just sons, it says adopted sons. The Bible talks about adoption into the family of God. So it isn't just that we have been made Christians, so to speak, because we made a choice, we decided to follow Christ. But God's in charge. And He's brought us into His family. An adoption, if you will, which in their thinking was almost, well, not almost, it was more important to be adopted into a family than it was to be born into it. Because let's stop and think about it. When we start talking about our family, we're only talking about people we have to live with, right? There is no choice made here. Our parents had us, and so we were part of the family. They had no choice. We had no choice. Nobody had a choice except for God. But in their thinking back then, if you was adopted, somebody made a choice. Not only to have you as a child, to not only adopt you into the family, but you got to make that choice too. So it was more important in their laws to actually be adopted than to be born into a family. And so that's the concept that Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching this idea that God already made a choice for you. God has already decided that He wants each and every one of us saved. So when we come to Him, it isn't just because. It isn't because we were Adam's relatives, or Adam was our Ancient of Days, or part of the family. Because not just everybody gets to be. In Christ's way of thinking, because we are adopted into the family, it's even more important, or even a bigger deal, than to actually be born a Jew. And that did not work well. They did not like that thought process. Because as we move ahead here, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Adam's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. So Jesus realizes they aren't going to take this. They're not sucking this up, so to speak. They're not believing what Jesus has to say. Because the only way we can truly be free is to follow what Jesus has to say. It's not a matter of if we want to. It's not a matter if that's the way it ought to be. Jesus is very clear here. We need to follow His instructions, His commands. And He commands us each and every day through the Holy Spirit and through our lives. So if we really want to be free, if we really want to understand what God has for us, if we really want to explore this idea of being in a family where the Father loves us unconditionally, loved us before we become a Christian, and loves us even more when we do, then we need to take that step. We need to make that choice. We need to understand that God is in control and we cannot dictate what religion or Christianity means to us. It's all in what Christ would have us to do. It has nothing to do with what feels good or what we'd like to do. It comes down to, are we following what Jesus taught? Are we following His commands? If we really want to be free at the end of the day, if we really want to be a part of the family of God and not be just a speck in the world, then we need to allow Christ to come in our hearts. We need to stop and let God take over. So those precepts, those commands, those understandings that Christ gives us each and every day, we heed, we understand, and allow Him to change our lives, to mature into the kind of Christians that we ought to be. Because God loves each and every one of us. He came as Christ and walked the world. He died on a cross that we might have eternal life. Before He even knew who we were, before we were even thought about, He gave Himself to die for us and then rose again on the third day and conquered death, conquered the devil. And now He sits on the right hand of God waiting for the day He returns. Is that the kind of Father you want? Unconditional love. Didn't care where you were. Didn't care what you were doing. He died for you anyway. Because He would have none perish, but all have eternal life. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to You and we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for walking with us, for talking with us. helping us to realize, Lord, that we need you in our lives. But those around us that are Christians, their lives, they have the same problems. They don't get rain. They don't get their crops to grow unless you are in control. We all have our problems. But wouldn't it be better to know that God had you back? Wouldn't it be better to know that the Lord was watching over you, taking care of you, no matter what was happening? That you had someone that you could talk to, someone that you could rely on. So this morning, Lord, we just ask that you talk to each one of us, that your Holy Spirit infill us. Help us to know that it is you we need. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Please stand for our hymn number 382.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for watching over us. We thank you for walking with us. We thank you for helping us to worship you with our tithes and offerings. We thank you for giving us the wherewithal to be able to worship you in this way. We ask, Lord, that you watch over us, that we are good stewards of your money, that we take care of your church and those that need our help. We ask, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon those that make those decisions. We ask, Lord, now that you go with us this week, that you help us to listen to your precepts. Listen to that small voice in the back of our minds to do the things that we know we ought to do, to understand the things that we don't, and ask for your help when we need it. But most of all, walk with us and let us know that you are close. Help us to feel like we're adopted into the family, that we're a part. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.